Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me as we continue to discover who God is. I hope that you are well and that you were able to spend some time this weekend with the Lord in prayer, reading and meditating on the Bible, perhaps listening to the Bible read to you from an audio Bible or an app. And if you live in a place where you can now have in-person fellowship with other Christians, that you were an enthusiastic participant. I know some of us still are faced with certain restrictions and limitations because of the coronavirus. Wherever you may be, as a Christian, you are an important part of the church, and we can always worship God right where we are. I hope that you will make the praise of God a part of every day and night that He gives to you. Every breath we have depends on Him, and we are to use our breath to the praise of His glory. Since this is the start of a brand new week, I want to remind you of where we are in the real-life drama of Job. If you imagine the book of Job to be like a stage drama played out at the local theater, then you have settled into your seat alongside the rest of us as we look up to the stage, and we are in Act 2, Scene 2. This covers Job chapters 4 through 7, and we entered this scene on Friday of last week. Perhaps it will prompt your memory if I recall for you some of what we discussed. If you were not with us on Friday, then this will give you an introduction to this scene in which Job hears from the first of three friends, and his name is Eliphaz. Eliphaz is a very intelligent man, and he comes to Job reasoning that Job must have a secret sin in his life, otherwise Job would not be suffering the way that Job is. And you might remember that old Eliphaz is quite the actor. I mean, we must put him in the running for best actor at this point. He will receive some competition later, but at this point in Act 2, Scene 2, Eliphaz steals the show. Listen to how he builds up to one of his points. I'm reading now Job chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Eliphaz speaks, "Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, dread came upon me, and trembling, and made all my bones shake." Ooh, visions in the night, whispers, dread, trembling, my bones are shaking, Job. Well, this guy can really draw the audience in. He really knows how to make it sound that his advice is going to be something profound, even remarkable. But then we get his supposed wisdom in verse 17. This is Job chapter 4, verse 17. "Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker?" Job 4, 17. The words of Eliphaz in the form of a question is a dud. It lands with a thud. That's it. All that build up and we get what is obvious. Of course people cannot be justified before God. Eliphaz is just telling Job something that Job already knows. He tells us something we already know, but he tells it in a very dramatic way. Then we find out that Eliphaz, like Job's other friends who have yet to come on the scene, he does this. He tells Job things that are definitely true. They just do not apply to Job's specific situation, to Job's current set of circumstances. The friends make true statements, but then wrongly apply them to Job. On Friday, we saw an example of this in the text in Job chapter 5. I will not repeat that today. As we followed the action on the stage, we began to see Job's response to Eliphaz in Job chapter 6 and 7. And when we read these chapters clearly, we saw that Eliphaz had been no help whatsoever. Look at and listen to Job chapter 6 and verse 15. "My brothers have acted deceitfully like a wadi, like the torrents of wadis which vanish." That was Job 6 verse 15. A wadi is like a water brook, a river if you will. And imagine that you are out there on the desert with Job and you're dry and thirsty. And you look off in the distance and see your friends coming and you think, "Ah, some refreshment. They will water me with their compassionate wisdom." But that was just a mirage, an optical illusion caused by atmospheric conditions. The compassionate wisdom of a friend never shows up. As we will see, none of them bring hope. Their advice was meaningless. And that is Job's response to Eliphaz, also in a dramatic scene before us. This scene includes a mirage in the desert of hopelessness. Now, this brings us up to date. This is review for some of you and new to others of you. Now, I want to be sure to highlight one other insight from Job's response to Eliphaz. This is found in Job chapter 7, verses 13 through 19, and specifically verses 17 through 19. If you took my little invitation to you seriously on Friday and read Job chapters 4 through 10, then you'll have seen this. I hope you caught this when you read chapter 7. Hear now the word of God in Job 7, verses 17 through 19. This is Job speaking to God. What is man that you magnify him and that you are concerned about him, that you examine him every morning and try him every moment? Will you never turn your gaze away from me, nor let me alone until I swallow my spittle? Job 7, 17 through 19. Wow. Job wants to get God to leave him alone. Just let me be, God. Back off, God. Stop examining me and stop trying me with trouble. Look away, God, and let me alone to die. You know what? This is also a recurring theme in this Act 2, chapters 3 to 31. Job wants God to just leave him alone. Listen, if you would, to what Job says way over in chapter 10. I am reading now Job chapter 10, verse 20. Would he not let my few days alone withdraw from me that I may have a little cheer? Job 7, verses 13 through 19 should be read alongside Job 10, verse 20. Again, read Job 7, 13 through 19 alongside Job 10, 20. This is really powerful. Do not miss this. Job is suffering such agony that he actually begs God to just leave him alone. What raw human emotion this is. Have you ever felt this way? I'm willing to admit to you that I have. I can remember a time in my life when I was so overcome with a measure of suffering, I could not figure out why I was suffering, and so I actually turned to God in prayer and said, "Leave me alone. Stop picking on me." I felt the Lord had singled me out, and I wanted him to just stop. My mentality was, "Father, God, go pick on somebody else now." There are times in our Christian lives when God presses in so tight and so hard that all we want to do is get away from him. I know, our spiritual leaders, our pastors, our elders, our counselors tell us to run to God in times of trouble. And the Bible definitely teaches that. But when we suffer, I mean really suffer in some way, I think we can relate very well here to Job. I know I can. You say, "Well, that's not spiritual." Ah, but it is human. And we are human beings. And God knows this about us. I love the raw human emotion pouring out of Job here in chapter 7 and in chapter 10. This is a theme. Job wants God to just leave him alone. This gives us a lot to ponder and think about. Let's be real. Let's acknowledge our humanness and our own suffering. Are you enduring some pain, hurt, affliction, and suffering yourself? Does it make you feel like you just want to be left alone? Consider Job. In my pastoral experience and in being a friend to other believers handling a trial, this is more common than we might think. Since many of us have a tendency to wear a mask to church, and by this I do not mean a medical mask to keep the virus away. I mean the spiritual mask many Christians have been wearing out in public for years, long before COVID-19 came along. We are struggling internally with our suffering, but we try to put a good face on it when we're with other Christians. We can be afraid of showing vulnerability, that we feel personally hurt, that God would allow this or even intentionally bring this into our lives. Well, our God is a big God. He can definitely handle it when we are honest and say along with Job, "Let me alone. Withdraw from me that I may have a little cheer." Better that we face our honest emotions and bring those before God's throne of grace. And better that we tell trusted believers how we feel than to try and suppress our anguish and pretend like nothing is wrong. Because when we pretend that, it leads us to further sin and alienation from God. Oftentimes, this is where secret sin rages in our lives, behind closed doors where no other Christian can see. We act one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. What do you think? Is this something you struggle with? I am available to you if you'd like to reach out. Have you visited the brand new God Is website yet? Just punch this into your web browser, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Once on the homepage, click Contact to get in touch with me. Listen to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Visit our social media pages and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Communicate with me there also. The God Is website is designed to be easy to use, clear, and friendly. Sometimes when we hear, visit the website, we might think, complicated. But that is not the case here. And if you have any questions, email me at mark@godisministry.org. That's my new email address. And ask your questions. I'm more than happy to help you navigate the website. We have come now to the end of what I want to say about Act 2, Scene 2 in the book of Job. Next time we will come into Scene 3 in Job chapters 8 through 10. That's Job chapters 8 through 10. So this gives you another opportunity to read those chapters this evening and to have an open ear to hear what God wants to say to you. Open your ears and open your heart and let God speak to you, and then join me again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.